This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we begin a series called Better Together. In this series, Rick takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and shows us how to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships with the people around us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. In it, you'll discover how God provides the power you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Why We Need Each Other.
Today is the beginning of a revolution. And it's going to start with a very radical counterculture message. What I want to talk to you about this morning is the exact opposite of what you've been taught most of your life. But God promises that if you'll do this, if you'll do it His way, that you'll never again have to struggle with loneliness. You'll be able to overcome things like fatigue and fear and frustration and failure. That if you'll do what he talks about, you'll be able to handle depression and despair and have that replaced with hope. It is the concept of community. Now, as Americans, we idolize independence. In America, we have the Declaration of Independence. We like songs like, I gotta be me. I'll do it my way. I don't need anybody to tell me what it's all about. And we honor the Lone Ranger. We love the Lone Ranger. Of course, even the Lone Ranger had Tonto, but we like the idea of being totally independent. And we have bought into a myth that says that the key to happiness is independence. If I have relational independence, financial independence, and independence in every other area of my life, if I don't let anybody get too close to me, but I'm totally self-sufficient, then I will be happy. And yet every year, the suicide rate tends to rise. Obviously, that's not true. And God says that the key to happiness is not independence, but interdependence. That we need each other. We belong to each other. We need community in our lives. And God wired you to go through life not as a solitary individual, but in community. Notice at the top of your outline what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 12, why don't you read it aloud with me together? Since we are all one body in Christ, we belong to each other, and each of us needs all the others. Once you turn to the person next to you and say, you need me. All right, you need me. Now I want you to turn to him and say, I need you. Go ahead. All right. Now, we just had over 150 wedding proposals. I'll be doing a special outside, 2-for-1. Let's call me Mary and Rick, matchmaker me. Now, the truth is, we need each other. God says community is not optional. You may not feel it. You may feel like, I'm very self-sufficient. I don't need other people in my life. But the truth is, you absolutely have to have other people in your life if you're going to be all God wants you to be. Today, I want us to start a journey on an even bigger idea, and that is, you cannot fulfill God's purposes for your life by yourself. There's no way. There's no way you can be all God wants you to be, do all God wants you to do, fulfill the purposes you were put on this planet to fulfill by yourself. You have to do it in relationship to other people. We need each other, and we belong to each other in the body of Christ. So today, we're going to focus on the greatest lesson in life, that is learning how to love. Why do relationships go bad? How do you turn a bad relationship into a good one? What is it that God does when he uses other people in our lives, and how does he do it to make us what he wants us to be? And so we're going to discuss and discover what it really means to develop true, intimate relationships. Today, I want to give you a little introduction, and we're going to look at why we need each other. why we need God's family, and specifically the five reasons God says you need other people in your life, and really why you need a small group. So let's get right into it. First, if you're taking notes, I need others to walk with me. I need others to walk with me. What does that mean? It means I need him to help me grow spiritually. Look at this verse. Colossians 2, 6 and 7 says, just as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so, read it with me, walk in him. Did you know that the Bible often compares life to a walk? Why? Because you're on a journey. You don't just sit still in life. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you're going to be. You're on a journey. And so it calls the spiritual life or the Christian life a walk. And throughout the New Testament, we're told to walk in wisdom, to walk in love, to walk in light. We're told to walk in obedience, in the Spirit. We're to walk as Jesus walked, and many, many other ways. The Bible tells us that we are to live life. But one of the key ways that God tells us to walk is this. You were never meant to walk through life alone. You were never meant to walk through life alone. Now, this has nothing to do whether you're single or married. Nothing at all. We have thousands of single adults in our church who are very involved in deep, intimate, meaningful community. We also have married couples in this church who are desperately lonely. Marriage does not solve the issue. Community does. Now, some of you say, well, Rick, what's wrong with walking alone? I like walking alone. In fact, I prefer it. I can go at my own pace, my own speed. I don't have to wait for anybody or whatever. I like walking alone. Well, you may like it, but you need others to walk with you. Let me give you three reasons. You can just write these down in the margin because I got a lot to tell you today. Number one, it's safer. It's safer. Walking through life with other people in your life is safer. It's less risky. You ever had to walk through a dark alley at night, inner city by yourself? It can be a little scary. Or walk down a long road in the countryside by yourself? It can be scary. It's safer to walk through life with others. Number two, it's supportive. What I mean by that is it keeps you from giving up. When you're walking with other people, you get the energy to keep on going that you wouldn't have. Have you ever been in a marathon where you're running this marathon and then, you know, you start getting a stitch in your side, and you start getting a little pain there and you want to give up? You know what I'm talking about? It usually happens to me about mile 20. Actually, step 20 is when it happens to me. Step 20. And you start going, you know, I can't go on. I'm not going to be able to do this. I want to give up. But if you have other people walking with you, you keep on going. There's an old Zambian parable that says, or proverb that says, when you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? Pastor Rick says throughout all the years he's been a pastor, the number one question he's been asked is, why can't I change? People want to change, but they're stuck. Maybe you feel that way too. In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that can take you from where you are to where you want to be. This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you a copy of God's Power to Change Your Life. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know which station you heard us on. Thank you so much for your support.
Now let's get back to today's lesson here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope.
There's an old Zambian parable that says, or proverb that says, When you run alone, you run fast. But when you run together, you run far. Good word. Good word. You see, life is not a 50-yard dash. It is a marathon. And you want to make it to the end of life. And the only way you're going to make it to the end of life the way God wants you to is by having other people involved in your life. If you've ever watched during the fall when a flock of geese are flying south and they're in V formation, do you know why they do that? Because it creates an uplift in the backdraft and it makes it easier and they can fly farther and longer when they fly together. And the same is true in your life. You're going to burn out in life if you go through it without any meaningful, intimate relationships. It's safer, it's supported. Not only that, it's smarter. It's just smarter to go through life with a few really close, deep friends. You learn more by walking with others than you do by yourself. Proverbs 28:26 says, "Only fools trust in what they think alone, what they alone think." In other words, if I'm the only one who thinks this, nobody else agrees with it, guess what? I'm wrong. Okay? You may be walking in the wrong direction, but if you're walking by yourself through life, you don't have anybody to go, "Hey, we're off the path. We missed it. We got to get back on the path." The Bible tells us in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now, one of the things that's very important that you learn when you walk with others is you learn how to get along with other people. If you go through life isolated, never let anybody get close to you, never cooperate with anybody, you don't learn how to cooperate. And that's one of the great lessons of life. Have you noticed that when you walk with somebody else, everybody walks at a different pace, different style? Those of you who've married, have you ever tried to walk with your husband or your wife around the lake? It's different. It's just different strides, different strokes for different folks. And so we have to learn to compromise. Now, the Bible says this in Genesis 2:18. Let's read it aloud. "It is not good for man to be alone." You know, that's the first thing God said after he created Adam. He looked down in a perfect environment, Garden of Eden, and goes, "It's not good. It's not good for man to be alone." God hates loneliness. He hates it. God hates loneliness. And so what's his antidote? Well, he created two groups, physical family and the spiritual family. The physical family is the one you grew up in. The spiritual family is the one you have the rest of your life. Actually, it goes on into eternity. The physical family eventually moves apart, eventually dies, and doesn't go on. But the spiritual family, God's church, is going to go on forever and ever and ever. And so God says, "I want you to be connected in my family, the church." Notice what his safety net is. In Hebrews 10, "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together." Notice it's a habit. It's something you do all the time. "Let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Instead, let us encourage one another." He says, you know, you're created for community, and I want you to encourage each other by meeting together. Now, that verse, he's not talking about what we're doing right now. This is not a community, folks. This is a crowd. It's a quite large crowd, okay? And we can't encourage each other here. You know, you can't even get to talk to very many people. There's just too many people. This can only be done in a small group. You know, can you be in a crowd and be lonely? Sure. This last week, I was in Manhattan. I had to go buy a coat for a TV show I was going to be on. And so I walked out by myself. I was in 100,000 people, but it still felt very lonely because I didn't know anybody. So it has nothing to do with the size. It's talking about getting together with people who encourage you. Would you write this down? Community is God's answer to loneliness. Community is God's answer to loneliness. And we all need a place where we can practice love. It's what the world needs. We need to learn how to love. Now, the Bible says that I've got to have other people in my life as I'm walking through life. I need other people to grow. Would you write that down? I can't grow without others. The Bible is very clear about this. I cannot grow without other people in my life. Why? Because life is about relationships, not about achievement. God is love, and he wants me to learn to love him and love others. Those are the two greatest lessons in life. Now, the Bible gets very specific about this in 1 Corinthians 14. I love this in the Message paraphrase. It's pretty clear. It says, when you gather, each one of you be prepared with something useful for all. Sing a hymn, teach a lesson, tell a story, lead a prayer, provide an insight, take your turn with no one person taken over. That way, you all learn from each other. Question, does that sound like something we do here on Sunday morning? No, no. I don't stand up here and say, anybody got a poem? You know, what happened to you this week? Who has a prayer request? Who learned something from God this week? Who needs to be prayed? We're too big to do that. This can only happen in a small group. And that's why to be a healthy believer, you need large group worship and small group fellowship, temple courts and house to house. And that's why in our church, we ask everybody to come on a weekend service and be in a small group. If you're only getting half of that, you're only getting half of the benefit of this church. You need to walk through life in a small group of believers. Now, why? Well, look at the next verse, Ephesians 4. As each part, talking about the body of Christ, as each part does its work, it helps the other parts grow. So, Christ's whole body is healthy and growing, and read it with me, full of love. That's what God wants in your life. And he wants for all of us. He wants us to be healthy and growing and full of love. And that's my prayer for you as your pastor. I want you to be healthy, and I want you to be growing, and I want you to be full of love. Now, there's only one way you can do that. You got to get with other Christians who can walk through life with you. You see, you can't learn community without being in a community. Not a crowd, but in a community. The Bible says this in 1 Peter 4:9. Open your homes to each other without what? Complaining. What's your complaint? What's your excuse for not opening up your home? Well, my home is dirty. Well, clean it up. Okay? Just clean it up, all right? That's a real easy thing. Okay? Well, my home isn't big enough. Can you put three people in it? Then you can have a group. The Bible says where two or more are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. You say, well, you know what? I don't like my neighbors. Well, don't invite them. I'm not telling you to invite people you don't like. Invite the people you do like. Okay? You don't have to invite people. Invite your neighbor, friends. Invite your coworkers, your family. You know, just get some people. You say, well, nobody would really want to come to my house and study this. Oh, really? Really? You see, everybody has a longing for belonging. Everybody, deep in the human spirit, is a longing for belonging. It's why the worst kind of punishment is solitary confinement. We're made for relationships. God wired us that way. And that's why people will join all kinds of stupid causes just because they want to belong. Listen, the people in your neighborhood would love to come to your house. Let me give you an example of this. 2 years ago when we did 40 days of purpose, and on the day we started, like today, I handed out a little card, a little invitation card, and I said, you know what? I want you to give this card to somebody that you know who doesn't go to church anywhere or doesn't have any knowledge of the love of God, and you invite them to your small group. And in 1 week, you did this, in 1 week, we went from 8,000 people in small groups to 24,000 in small groups. Listen, your neighbors are more willing to come than you're willing to invite them. They are. So that's the first reason we need a group. We need each other because we need people to walk with us. Number two, I also need others to work with me. I need people to work with me. Did you know that the Bible says God put you on earth to do a certain work that only you can do? Ephesians 2:10 says this, God made us to do good works, which he planned in advance for us to live our lives doing. Before you were even born, God decided the talents he was going to give you, the natural abilities he was going to give you, the background. He even chose where you would be born, who your parents would be, when you would be born, and all of this, because he has a purpose for your life, and part of that purpose is he has some work for you to do. Now, anytime you use your talents or your abilities to help somebody else, there's a word for that. It's called ministry or service. And all of us are ministers, not pastors, ministers. What that means is when you use your gifts And what God wired you to be, to help others, you're doing what God did you, brought you to do. He says, these are your good works. Now, remember, we've talked about this many times, that life on earth is practice for eternity. You get 100 years at the most on earth, you get trillions of years in heaven. And in heaven, you're going to do four things. And one of the things you're going to do in heaven is you're going to serve God. And so what God wants you to do while you're here on earth, spend some of that time practicing. Practicing serving. And so he says, I want you to learn to serve. I want you to do these good works, but I don't want you to do them by yourself. You see, in heaven, when you get there, everybody's going to work, but we'll all each just have a little piece so you'll never get tired. You're not going to be overworked or overloaded in heaven because God will give you just a little piece to do, but everybody will do their part and it'll all get done. What happens here on earth, though, is you're worn out. You're exhausted. You're burnt out. Some of you came to church exhausted. Why? Because you're trying to do it all, and you're trying to do it all by yourself.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle, .com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today. But first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that you can take from where you are to where you want to be. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change, or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life.
This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or 800-600-5004. And be sure to let us know which station you heard us on. Thanks so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.